away a lot. I've been away a lot myself. I was away over in Italy in Europe for about 3 weeks, and then I was up at Bible camp. So most of July was spent in other activities, but it's good just to be back in a bit of a routine of things, although it's very nice to be on vacation, but you can't be always on vacation. It's good to see everyone there in person there that I can see at Parkcrest, and to those of you online as well. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18, we're reading from verses 21 to 35 of Matthew chapter 18. And then it says in this passage, and you've been going through here the Gospel of Matthew and these wonderful teachings from the Lord himself. It says in verse 21, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him and owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay his master, ordered him to be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me and should not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of salvation. And we thank you that forgiveness and mercy and grace is at the heart of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that the message of Christ is something that not to be trifled with or messed with in any way, but Lord, that we should truly understand the goodness and grace of God in a much deeper and more profound way as we get to know you. And Lord, as we consider this whole topic of forgiveness, this understanding that is given to us through the Gospel of Matthew and the words of the Lord Jesus as he speaks this parable, may we truly embrace the forgiveness that is found alone in Christ and help us to exercise it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think of debts that are paid, as we think of forgiveness, as we think of this, we are aware once again that God in his grace and his kindness displays to us some wonderful truths through the Word of God. I'm often reminded of one of my favorite verses in the scriptures, and you don't need to turn to it, but it's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says there, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So if we could use that as a basis, be kind to one another, comma, tender-hearted, comma, forgiving one another, comma, as God in Christ forgave you. There are three things that we find in this verse. First of all, the kindness that we are to show. That is the way that we can act upon what what God has done for us. But it says this should be our standard. This should be our standard when we have been forgiven by God. And then tenderhearted. Kindness and tenderness are two separate things, even though they are related. And then it says forgiving one another. And that is holding no account of wrongs against an individual. And then it's because in Christ, God has forgiven us. Now, I don't know about everybody in the audience today, but I would like to ask yourself a rhetorical question. Have you received Christ's forgiveness? Have you received Christ's forgiveness? I was at camp, and it was interesting as we spoke about the Lord, and to 9 to 12-year-old boys, it's a simple, basic message, and we were talking about what it was to be loved by God, to be forgiven by God, and to enjoy a relationship with God. And as we spoke, some boys came up with little things that were going on in their lives, stories about what has gone on, and their they have broken homes where there is divorce and there is a lack of understanding, and most of all, lack of forgiveness. And so that has marred or scarred their lives. And one of the things that I want to say is that unforgiveness and a rancorous heart can cause great damage in the life and heart of an individual. And we need to always be careful of that, because unforgiveness is one of the most, it can be one of the most destructive actions that can take place in someone's life. Now, forgiveness, on the other hand, is one of the most amazing, beautiful, and wonderful things that can ever take place in someone's life. Many years ago, my father had an individual who caused him much damage. My father was a missionary, and so he had seen a man come to know the Lord, and then the man grew in his faith and eventually became an elder in the church. And this man ended up, he was, as an elder in the church, he started taking a lot of responsibility, teaching the Bible and whatnot. But I was too young, but my father saw pride growing in this individual. And as he grew, he became very, very harsh and became very, very judgmental. And he was he lacked grace in his life. And eventually it was discovered that this man was, in his own personal life, was living a very immoral existence. And he caused much damage in the church. He caused much damage to my father, and was very harsh on him and very accusatory. And yet my father remained gracious, and it was difficult. But I remember one day that my father was outside the church on a Sunday evening, and my father had the custom of giving out gospel tracts to people going by and inviting them into the church service as they went by on the street. And all of a sudden, the man was walking by the church. Now, what was interesting is that his wife and his family all kept attending the church, but he walked right by, and he walked by my father, just sort of glanced at him. And my dad, as he walked by, my dad said to him, he says, "Don Adolfo," he said, "I just want you to know that you are always welcome here at the church. You're always welcome." The man was so struck by the willingness of my father to forgive and my willingness of my father to speak to him, that was the moment that began a process of restoration back towards the church. I know that you dealt with that about a brother sinning against you in the previous chapter, or in the previous part of this chapter. And so that was something that took place. But what was the thing? It was the willingness and the grace that was shown to him. It's not that my father was the greatest of men or anything like that. He just was exercising what the Bible taught him. And I think it's really important that each and every one of us take time to understand the goodness and the grace of God in a much more intimate way. Just as God in Christ has forgiven us, we need to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another. I pray that if you don't have a favorite verse, make Ephesians 4:32 a favorite verse. It's one of my favorite verses, and because I just love the spirit of it, and I pray to God that I would always carry that kind of an attitude in every aspect of my life and leadership and any responsibility that I have in the family of God. Now, let's turn to this this gentleman who we are introduced to. He is a servant to a man here, and it tells us how he it tells us as the Lord Jesus speaks about him. But how did it begin? Well, first of all, it begins with Peter. Remember Peter, who is a disciple of the Lord Jesus, later on became known as Peter the Apostle, but and Simon Peter, or Cephas in some places he's called. He was a very impulsive sort of person. But one of the things that we see with Peter is that he is an interesting person in the sense of that he wanted to show the Lord that he really had a grasp on forgiveness. So what does he say to him? Well, let's see it again. He says, Peter came up to Jesus and he says, how often will my brother sin against me? Now, who knows what was going on? Maybe there was some sort of conflict. Maybe there was some sort of situation with one of the other disciples, or maybe there was something external. And Peter's kind of trying to measure and trying to, find out information from the Lord Jesus. But added to that, he's probably trying to show the Lord, look at me. And one of the issues with Peter is that he had a very sense of pride in himself. And that's one of the things that we know about Peter, is that humility, it was not an easy thing. And so in the previous part of the chapter, in Matthew 18, humility, honesty are important things and important values. Now there's this value of forgiveness. And anything that requires for you and I to have humility, honesty, forgiveness, when we make ourselves less and we make others more and ultimately glorify the Lord, it requires a risk. It requires a risk, because what that requires is a person who's willing to be vulnerable, to show themselves as sometimes as much weaker than sometimes we like to portray. All of us love to portray a certain image, right? But the reality here is that there is something that that Jesus is trying to teach Peter. And Peter, from his point of view, he comes in really from a point of pride. He comes in and says, I can forgive up to seven times. I can do that. And Jesus answers him and says to him very clearly at the end of chapter, verse 21, he says, or verse 22, he says, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, in the previous section, it was about a brother who would sin against you and how you you deal that with that, and how you go through that process. And so Peter, thinking that he's all this for God, he comes in and he says these things to the Lord Jesus. But we know that Peter made some serious mistakes. He lacked humility himself. And he was quite sure that others would sin against him. And maybe, as I said, there was something going on. But Peter, what he was going to Jesus was that he was asking for some limits. He was asking for some measures in forgiveness. Now let that sink in. He was asking for guidelines, for rules on forgiveness. God's grace and God's mercy is not measured by rules. It's not measured by the way that we think. Everything in our world is measured by certain laws and regulations, and everything in life has some sort of limit, some sort of regulation. Here, this is exactly what Peter's looking. He's very human, and he's looking for this from the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, 70 times seven. 70 times seven, 490, right? And so he's saying you need to forgive a person in an unlimited way. Now, what Jesus was saying is that, you know, you don't forgive a person just this amount, 70 times seven. It's about the unconditional forgiveness and the limitless forgiveness that's found in Christ. So what we see here is that there can be no limit. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And this is what it says there in those verses. It says there, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There is no limit to the grace and the forgiveness of God. And so that's the first lesson that we can learn from the question that Peter asked. He asked, how much? And Jesus says, way more than you can think or imagine. And here Peter was thinking that, oh, I'm a gracious guy. I'm a humble guy. Well, the reality is that Christian love is not blind. It's the forgiveness of God requires a certain amount of instructions. And this is what he gives here in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. That's what Jesus said. It says, this is how we go around through the process of forgiveness, but forgiveness itself is limitless. There is a process, which is the previous section, but there is something that we do know. And so what we can understand that the forgiveness of God is not shallow. It's not blind. And if we took a look Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, and we look at verses 9 and 10, it says there, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may prove what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And the idea is that your love may abound more and more. The set of instructions are given, but the love of God is limitless. And so we need to always go through a process. We never jump in and just forgive someone because they're our friend or because we want to sweep sin under the carpet. That's not the idea. The idea is to address issues, but to grant forgiveness and exercise mercy. So what we see here is that this parable is not about salvation. Okay, so it's important. It's about forgiveness. It is about the grace and the grace of God that is unconditionally given. And so that's an important point for us to understand. And that parable also deals with what goes on between brothers and sisters, and brothers and brothers, and sisters, not between sinners and God. Okay, so this is about a relationship that's horizontal with someone that is part of the family of God, someone that is a fellow believer. Okay, so this is not the way that God he is gracious and merciful, but this is to do with brothers and sisters. So what we see here is that we see a person and that goes through this parable in three stages in their experience of forgiveness. Now, first of all, from verses 23 to 27, this gentleman, we understand that he is a debtor. He is someone who owes a debt. And so now what it is that, and I was reading this, and it's an interesting piece of information, is that what it is that this man had been probably stealing funds from the king. And so when there was an audit made on the books, it was discovered that that he had this man had taken an incredible amount of money, and the amount of money in today's value would probably be somewhere around $15 million. That's how much it would be. So it wasn't a small amount, and because the tax levy in Palestine at that time was 800 talents a year, and so this man had stolen from his master quite a bit of money. So now what is interesting about this man is that in verses 23 to 27, we see he began to settle one, and he said and since he could not pay his master wanted to order him to go. And he says, so the servant to prison along with his wife and children. That was the law in those days. Verse 26 says, the servant fell on his knees, imploring him. He says, have patience with me. I will pay you everything. The man had no ability to pay him one single dime. He did not have the ability to pay him back. That is a clear-cut issue. He had stolen the money. He had spent it most likely frivolously. He had maybe, as we know, lent out some of the money. And obviously, he didn't have any money because he was demanding money back. This was an individual who was irresponsible from the get-go. And what it is that we see with him is that he was a man who was totally and completely irresponsible. And he thought that he could pay it back. And the king, realizing he couldn't, had no ability to pay it back. What the king did was that in this hopeless case, the only course that the king could take was absolute and complete forgiveness of the debt. And the king shows compassion. And that's what we see in God. We see how he is compassionate. And so what does Paul say? He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We know that the apostle Paul was like that. He even spoke to Philemon and he said, you need to forgive Onesimus in the book of Philemon. He tells him, he says, you owe me, but you know, it's all about grace. It's all about showing kindness and compassion. And so what happened was the man as a debtor was freed of his debt. Now added to this, from verses 28 to 30, we see how he had someone that was in his debt. So he was not only a debtor, but he was also a creditor. And so as he goes and leaves the presence of the king, you know, he must have had a burden that was incredibly lifted by the king. And isn't that wonderful when you and I go into God's presence and sometimes we have messed up, whatever it might be, we've caused some sort of ruckus. We have made some mistake. We have sinned before God. And isn't it wonderful when we go to the Lord and maybe we talk to someone and we just go and burdens are lifted. Burdens are lifted. A little while ago, I spoke to someone. I can't quite remember all the situation, but I remember having a conversation with them. It was a lady who I spoke to, an older lady, and she was talking about a sin that she was struggling with. And so we talked it through, and she had confessed it to the Lord, but she wanted to talk to someone about it. And I'll never forget, as I left her little apartment, she said, "You know what? I feel so much better now." You know, that's how this man must have felt. He must have felt so much better as he left the king's presence. But immediately he goes to someone else. Now, why demands from them. Now, why did he do that? Well, you see, what the issue was is that this man He was not upset that he owed all that money. He wasn't truly repentant. He wasn't repentant for what he had stolen. He was upset because he'd gotten caught. My fellow believer, when we sin against the Lord and we call upon his grace, make sure that you're going into God's presence and asking for true forgiveness and being truthful about that, honest about that. Don't go into God's presence and say, oh man, I got caught, so here, I gotta go through this process. If it's just a process for you, then really you're just deceiving yourself, because you can't deceive God. And so each and every one of us have to ask ourselves the questions as we go into God's presence. You know, we can sometimes go, well, I know that I will fall again. I know I will do this again. I know I will do this particular thing or say this particular thing. Let's try with all the sincerity we have and ask the Lord to give us the integrity and the honesty to go into his presence and seek true forgiveness. Because then we'll just be like this man who goes outside of God's presence, and then he starts accusing another of owing him money. It's like the person that has sinned gravely, and they've sinned gravely and they've been caught, and they say, oh yeah, I've been forgiven. But they go out and they start pointing out everyone else's sins. That's exactly what happened here. It really the sense of it is it's hypocrisy. And that's what this man was doing, is that in a hypocritical way, he was going and he was pointing out and he's saying, you owe me. Now, this man owed about $50 million, approximately. He goes to this other person and he goes to the man and he says to him, you owe me. And it was the equivalent of about 100 pence or something like that. It was such an insignificant amount in comparison to what he owed. And yet he demanded. And what does he do? He wants to send him to prison. Now, he had the legal right to do that, but he did not have the moral right to do that. Let me repeat that. He had the legal right to send him to prison, but he did not have the moral right to send him to prison. And so he'd been forgiven himself, and he should have forgiven his fellow servant. And what happened? There were consequences. Verses 31 to 34 it tell us about what happens, is that his fellow servants saw. You know, remember, people always see. Everyone can see what you say and do. Brothers and sisters, when you go out of God's presence and you've been caught and you're truly, you on display, you show repentance, but you're truly unrepentant, and then you go and hypocritically start accusing others of the same sin or of something much more minimal, and you start going after them. You know, others can see it, and they will call you to account. And the consequences for this were much greater and much more dire. What happened here was this man, he was caught. He was, and the king, when he heard of this behavior, he says to him, verse 32, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. He'd been caught. He pleaded. He wanted to get out of the situation. He was freed from the situation, and he hurt another person and was willing to put them into prison. He says, you did not show mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. He ended up in jail and paying. And you know what? His family suffered as well. It tells us that his wife and his children would be put in prison as well. Remember, when we sin, when we transgress, and we're truly unrepentant, and we act out in ways that do not please the Lord, in the end, the consequences are much greater. We even hurt our family. It speaks to my heart. I hope it speaks to yours, that we would be individuals that would not be as this man in this parable, but that we would show the grace and the kindness of the King to one another, just as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has shown kindness, tender-hearted, and compassionate ways, forgiving us, because in Christ we have received the greatest forgiveness of all, and that is the forgiveness of our sins. You know, as he becomes a prisoner, and so the Lord is warning us. It's serious. He says we need to forgive others. And so this man, all he was doing was he was trying to get his debt off the books. He wanted to be forgiven. He said, "I'll pay it back," but he could not. What does it say? It says here, it says that in verse 34 and verse 35, it says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you." God is just and he is righteous. And sometimes when we don't learn our lesson the first time, he sometimes brings it about the second time and the third time. But that's where the forgiveness and the grace of God, the 70 times seven, kicks in. And, you know, each and every one of us sometimes takes time to learn certain lessons. We sometimes wonder, didn't the person learn the lesson the first time? Down in Chile, there was a man who was one of the indigenous community, and unfortunately, as in many places, the indigenous community was not treated very well. But this man, he was a thief, and so he would go in and he would steal. Well, the Spaniards caught him, and they cut off his one limb. Then they caught him stealing again. They cut off his other limb. And finally, they caught him the third time, and he was stealing with his feet. And you know what? They said to him, "Haven't you learned your lesson?" And you know what he said? "It's not my limbs. It's my heart." And that's what God wants to deal with. He wants to deal with our hearts. So when we are dealing with true forgiveness, let's make sure that our hearts are right with God. Let's make sure that our hearts are right with him in a way that transcends anything in relationships, so that the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God will flow out of our hearts. Does that mean that we wink at sin, that we hide sin, we brush it under the carpet? No. There are sometimes consequences, and that's what happened here. It says there, he will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother. From where? From your heart. Brothers and sisters, let's forgive one another with true heart, with true hearts and sincere hearts before the Lord, so that the grace of God can be made manifest. And you know what? When forgiveness and grace becomes part of our world and part of our everyday reaction, I tell you, there is no limits below what God can do. What does Ephesians 4:32 says? Be kind to one another. It says, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let's not be like this man here. Let's be one of those that people can say they forgive, and they do it from their heart because they know the heart of God. Get to know God, and you will get to know more and more of his forgiveness, his grace, his righteousness, and his justice. May God bless his word. Let us pray. Father, as we've looked at this passage and we've talked about forgiveness, we realize, Lord, that sometimes in our own pride, we can be upset because we get caught. Help us not to look at it that way. Help us to look at it in the way that truly reflects your character. Help us to be repentant from a true heart. Lord, we pray that as we are instructed in this, that we would not be like Peter, who wants to set some sort of limits and measures about how God does his business. Lord, we will leave that up to you. But help us always to walk in the in the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit as we have been forgiven, and help us to forgive one another, whether it's our husband, whether it's our wife, whether it's our children, whether it's a family member. Help us not to be resentful. Help us to be truly forgiving. And Lord, help us to always choose humility and choose grace. And so we ask this and thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a pleasure being with you. The Lord bless you and keep you and may his face shine upon you both today and for the days to come. God bless you.